off the ball.
Rugby.
I understand Leo's frustrations, but I think he probably has to understand other people's optics of the quality. He's right. It's a very difficult competition to win.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
And that's all she wrote. That's the show this morning. Dara Smith-Nocton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Adrian.
Matthew Brennan, how are you?
Morning, Adrian. How are you doing?
And a call. Good morning to you.
How are you doing?
This is just the usual show now.
Yeah.
This is us.
Yeah.
The takeover.
Yeah.
Tune in tomorrow.
I've been enjoying it.
Colin's been
out in this dynamic.
And we have finally taken control.
And taken over.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's been a long time going.
The lunatics running the asylum. All good with that. Was he on Mount Rushmore? I should look.
Here, I'll find
there's
you.
No way, yeah. There's no way he's not on the Mount Rushmore, Matthew.
See. Yeah, you put me on the spot here, like for a Westmead Mount Rushmore.
Oh, give us your.
I don't know. I can't just be willy nilly doing this here now. I'd have to put some serious.
I'm pretty sure
into
there
it.
Was one name on it that you would definitely disagree with. Did he end up on it or not?
Oh, why would that be?
John Aldridge.
Yeah, that's one of them.
If John Aldridge was on it, I'll give you the 50-50. Yeah. Desi Dolan was definitely on it. Sure.
Desi Dolan would have had to be in there. Yeah. We'd like, as in, is it sports Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was.
So
I
Joe
think,
Dolan wouldn't have made it, like.
No.
No.
Paddy might. I think Paddy, I was certainly offering Paddy into the conversation, okay, legitimately, see, I think.
Well, look, give it a few weeks and Mark McHugh will be in there too, so.
Yeah, no, fair point. The reincarnation of Paddy. So we know our Champions League finalists, and I don't know. Is it fair enough to ask, was it ever going to be a repeat of what we saw last week? And maybe the more controversial question, did we actually want a repeat? Like, if we were sitting here again this morning with another 5-4, maybe we'd all be a little bit more Kenny Cunningham than we would be.
Don't say your mind didn't go to it after the first goal went in the second.
That we could be on.
Here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Go. That's exactly. But I just as the dust settled last night, I kind of wondered if it had been another route. I think at that point we'd be saying, right, actually Kenny could have had a pointer.
Yeah, it did look that way after 2 minutes, when within that 2 minutes there were at least three defenders' ankles broken by their wingers. Elise looked like he was on it. Farskele was incredible. And then in the end, look, I think if Kenny wanted to see a defensive display, I don't think you're going to see a better defensive display this year than PSG's in that second half. Marquinhos was incredible. Nunes did really well to stay on the pitch initially, and then you know, he was solid from then on. Zaire Emery, who wouldn't have been PSG's preference to start at right back, was brilliant, and they just really just sucked the life out of Bayern for such a long period of time in that game. So I mean, Kenny got what he wanted, but I don't know. I think I would have preferred to see a Bayern goal earlier in the game, just to make it tastier.
Yeah, even 10 minutes earlier than Kane's goal would have given you a grandstand finish. It came that little bit too late. I thought they dealt with Nuno Mendes' yellow card ridiculously well, and it was clever from Enrique as well, just to filter him back inside a little bit, get a bit more support out there on Elise. And I thought Fabian Ruiz, actually, when he came on the first leg, wasn't brilliant.
Game,
thought he was very good last night.
Yeah, solid.
Thought he was very good. Gives him something different as well in that midfield, because Neves and Vitinha, for how brilliant they are similar. And Fabian Ruiz is just a little bit different, I think. He just takes his thing out of it a wee bit. But look, I thoroughly enjoyed it. That was a great game.
Yeah.
That was a great game, man.
Yeah, Bayern probably didn't come at it with enough quality or urgency, like, particularly given the early goal up against it to begin with. But you felt maybe they had a plan to kind of keep it tight for the majority of the game, try and get something on the break. I mean, that wasn't necessarily the spirit of the first game, clearly, but... And then when that didn't materialise, they didn't seem to alter their plan greatly.
Yeah.
You know, to try and chase two goals.
I think a big part of their plan was to give the ball to Michael Elise and hope he gets past the man. And then once that wasn't working, they were putting two or three players on him. There was no plan B.
Yeah.
That's why they created so little in that second half. Elise has this kind of funny style. It's almost like basketball-esque, where he isos. You know, an iso in basketball, when you push everyone away, it's like, lads, I have this. Stay away from me. And that's what they were doing, but then because there was no one anywhere near him, he was getting double and triple teamed, no one's there for support, and then he'd give away possession. And probably not a great player to have if he's not playing well. You know what I mean? He's probably not offering you a whole lot else. Like, kind of like Mo Salah. Like, if he's not getting past his man, getting shots off, he's not offering you a whole pile. Didn't get the ball to Kane very much either. No. Kane was dropping very deep for the ball. Like, way too deep. I know he can play that game, but they needed him. Like, he scores the goal.
That's always a sign that you're not playing very well if you have Harry Kane in the team and he's back in the midfield picking up the ball, because that's when he's getting frustrated.
Is that the simple explanation of his performance last night, that he had to, it wasn't happening for them, he had to get a bit deeper, and so was never going to be able to play? It was like Harry Kane at Tottenham.
Well, that's sort of what Harry Kane does, though. Like, it, and he's so brilliant at it, and often it does work, because he, as good as he is as a forward, he is also sort of in that period of like what Wayne Rooney used to do for United, where he often does drop back, create space for other players.
Haaland was at it the other night as well.
It does create a lot of space. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how PSG created space for their first goal, was, you know, they come short for it in their own half, and that creates loads of room in behind for the wingers. But if your wingers aren't getting in behind for those passes, then Harry Kane's dropping deep for no reason. So it becomes its own sort of issue. I do think that maybe Conrad Laimer wasn't the best option to play alongside Olise as the right option, because he's not great. Mm. Like, for this level, relatively speaking, he isn't. He's not an elite fullback. So
yeah, I think he's more comfortable in midfield as well.
Slightly out of place in that game yesterday. Yeah, I thought for that open goal to Bele's goal, Upamecano made an awful read when Kvaratskhelia comes short. I think like that fella can turn on a sixpence, and he's right up on him, and then he's the centre back. Like, there's an abundance of space in behind him then once he does come up.
I wonder, is that a systemic thing where he's told to do that?
I think it is.
But he just looked like he was on skates there for a lot of the first half in particular. Now, he got back a couple of times, but yeah, he didn't cover himself in glory last night. Luis Diaz looked incredibly frustrated early on.
That's something we saw
when he was at Liverpool as well, when things weren't going his way. He started forcing it very early last night. And that was just typical of the game, really. PSG actually ended up frustrating Bayern a lot, I think. And that's to be commended.
Yeah. Dermot Keenan asked a question that I know you want to get into, Matthew. Did anyone else know the rule about handball, when the ball hits your hand from your own player, that it's not a penalty? ? I certainly didn't, as I was shouting for Bayern penalty. I think in fairness, the entirety of the stadium, I was watching it on Premier again last night. The commentator openly admitted in the second half, I was one of those, had no clue. And I was trying to mine Phil for some information outside, but I think you've got some detail on it. It was definitely one of those ones where you're looking at it and going, well, that's a pretty obvious handball, given that they now give a penalty for anything.
It's one of those ones where, you know, it immediately happens and you're screaming at the TV, how could that possibly not be a handball? But generally speaking, if there's a decision that egregious now with VAR, there has to be a reason why it wasn't given. Mm. And if you go onto the IFAB website, everyone who has been on the website will be familiar. But when you go onto it, it's not really, it doesn't give you like, here's the rules. This is 2A, this is 2C. It kind of gives you situations.
Okay.
Because that's what happens in matches. It's a situation. So the situation is a player is hit on the arm or slash hand by the ball from a teammate's kick slash header. And the ruling is, this is not a handball unless the ball goes directly into the opponent's goal or the player scores immediately afterwards, in which case an indirect free kick is awarded to the other team. So if you're not getting an advantage, so if the player kicks the ball, hits your teammate's hand, goes in, that's not a goal. It's going to be given as a handball. Right. And I presume there are situations where if he, you know, deliberately catches the ball or they gain an advantage, then it's at the ref's discretion.
Okay.
I would imagine, I'm guessing with that, but yeah, it just these rules are so complicated, and I think in the heat of the moment, for a referee to be able to pull that from his head is actually quite impressive. It's one of those things where everybody in the stadium is baying for your head. The Bayern bench are screaming for a penalty. Nobody understands why you have not given this penalty except for you. Yeah. Because you have that rule in your head. I thought it was strong refereeing from the ref, who didn't have probably the best game. I don't know.
There was definitely a period there where he was feeling the pressure a bit.
He was giving very little in general.
Yeah.
And usually I would be like, great, you're giving us a game here. I don't know, yeah. I thought it was a couple of...
Like the wrong moments, though, he was kind of skipping past. And like when the crowd is against you as a ref, you shouldn't give fouls for that reason at all. But they're, you know, if someone is fouled or it's a 50-50 call... Maybe give it to the home team and settle the crowd a little bit. Get them back on your side and then go about your business. Because
you can't do that either, though.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, just don't make yourself a villain. Be fair, obviously. You know, call the game as it should be. But it felt like he was giving every 50-50 call to PSG, especially in that first half when the crowd was already on top of him. So
who was the player that handballed it?
Nuno Mendes.
Looks like a scald a cat afterwards, that he himself was like, shit.
I think the ref
that was João Neves, wasn't it? The second handball.
One in the box.
Yeah.
Oh, the one in the box was João Neves.
Like he walks out going,
yeah, he looked very guilty.
He didn't even know that it wasn't a handball. Yeah. So it's a difficult one. I thought the Nuno Mendes one was more of a cop out from the referee. I thought he was like, he was only delighted that he didn't have to send off someone so early in his Champions League semi final second leg.
Goddamn his humanity. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't want to see Nuno Mendes sent off at that point in the game. Yeah. So I wanted to see that battle played between himself and Olise. But like, we didn't get a replay of that handball.
No.
I still haven't seen it. I presume they made the right call.
I got a replay of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It comes off Laimer's inner
thigh. It's when he's controlling it, isn't it?
But his arm is down there. And the only angle you get is the one that is like inconclusive. So if I don't think VAR can look at that because the referee give a free kick out. So they can't, if it's not a red card, I don't think they can actually in retrospect go back to it. So again, these intricacies of the rules just make this game an incredibly complicated thing to referee. So.
Well, I mean, listen,
we complain, but
what's good enough for the Ulster Championship is good enough for the Champions League semi-final as well, it turns out.
Well, did you make a PSG celebrations after the...
Well, somebody here said, how dare PSG celebrate going to the final? They came back out, which I didn't see this bit now, they came back out 20 minutes after the final whistle, dancing around with the fans, says Rob, good morning to you on YouTube.
God forbid.
Where was Rob watching this feed?
The celebrating was a disgrace by PSG. It felt to me overall to be more muted than the previous evening.
I'm only kind of saying that in jest, bringing it up, but I think there's also the fact that they were playing away from home and they had their away fans up in the skies, and there's other bits around it. I said yesterday I didn't really care too much about Arsenal celebrations, and nor do I really care about PSG celebrations. Yeah.
There is that bit of you'll indulge me for a second, there is that bit of afterwards where they go over to their own fans, and when you're in that away stadium you have to be facing, like, the vast majority of people you're facing are the home fans. Mm. So there is that little bit of, dancing around. I think kind of performatively.
There's also the thing of, you know, they were in the Champions League final last year.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new to them. Like, whereas Arsenal, it's been a long, long time. So there is that element to it as well. They'll have expected themselves at the start of this campaign to get to another final. Like, they have a great team. It's no surprise. Obviously,
you still celebrate it though.
Like,
your career is fleeting, and your career at the absolute elite level is even more fleeting. So, I genuinely can't stand behind any pundit giving out about players celebrating, being happy after a big result. Like, you have to enjoy the journey as well. It's part of, and it is also part of being a representative of the club. These players, the fans came from Paris to Bayern, they spent their money, they got themselves there, go and thank them for doing that. And that's part of what it is. Like, you saw with Jurgen Klopp, got pelters after he took the Liverpool fans, I think it was a draw against West Brom. He took them, celebrated in front of the fans, clapped them off. Looked silly at the time, still probably looks a little bit silly, but that got major buy-in from the fans, and that was part of the journey as they made their way back to the Premier League title. So, you know,
was that the first of the
it was one of the first, it was very early, very now? Early days,
you're seeing National League coaches doing it now, the videos on Twitter, and like, it's lost its magic a little bit, I think.
Did it have magic? Okay. Dermot Keenan, good morning to you. Regular viewer, regular commenter, says his Spurs mate texted him last night, said that if Arsenal beat PSG that he's never watching football again. To which he responded to say, just as well, because you'd be in the championship. Very harsh.
It's actually arguably easier to watch championship games than it is to watch Premier League games these days.
Yeah.
you play twice a week, so you can watch on a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Come here, nobody is saying that Arsenal are going to win this thing, by all accounts, even in the very short period of time post final whistle last night. This is PSG's, and anything else would be a travesty.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. Yeah. I'd be surprised if they won it, yeah.
I wouldn't be that, like, if there's a team to beat them in the final, it's probably Arsenal, isn't it? The way they set up. Like a team that can nullify, like, look, you're looking at an all-time great attack there from PSG, but Arsenal are very good at just nullifying great attacks.
Well, I suppose it's that last bit that's the question, the great attacks bit.
They're good at nullifying attacks.
Are they good at nullifying that great attack?
Yeah. I'm not so sure question. That Arsenal's current fullbacks in Calafiori and if it's Ben White, which it probably will be at this stage, are capable enough. They're great. They're good players in their own rights. I don't know if they're defensively solid enough to lock down Kvaratskhelia, Dembele, and Doué.
Yeah, I don't know if that much of a slight on them. Even it's just kind of they're just that good. Yeah.
Like if you look at the way that Kvaratskhelia can go either way. Like there was a point last night where Steven Gerrard and Ali McCoy were just laughing on commentary because like Gerrard said. He even sold me with that dummy. The moment he was going inside, all you just think he's going to shoot.
Yeah.
He just flicks it around, goes around the outside and skins him. Like,
yeah.
And you have that pace off that, like the powerful running. I don't know if Ben White is going to be capable of stopping it.
Sure, even Doué on the end line in the second half.
He does the same skin twice, on the
sideline.
Yeah. He was
does it again.
He was actually real quiet until the last 20 odd minutes decided alright, Dembele's off now, I'm going to be the main man.
Rob Daly, I was watching on Premier, said what just happened there?
Yeah,
you know, one of those absolute
remind me of do you remember Berbatov's goal against or the assist he got against Blackburn?
Ronaldo scored it,
the Berbat turn,
the Berbat spin or whatever they call it. Remind me of that, but it's a great watch.
Like PSG, they're the best team in the competition by a long way.
Yeah,
I just don't like it's a one-off game. I just think I wouldn't be writing off Arsenal just yet. I know they can be flaky, but I think they're flaky in a league format. I think on their day, if they play a 10 out of 10 game, they're a really, really good side. So I think they have every chance to go and win it. PSG obviously favourites, but I just wouldn't be writing them off just yet.
Yeah, tournament football is kind of suited to the way Arsenal play. One-off fixture, the Arsenal style is, you know, it's time proven that you can get results with that. So a few comments saying Hincapié will play left back, which that's a fair point. He probably will, given Calafiori's performance the last day. And then Timber will be fine. I don't know how long he's going to be out. I don't know
a lot of time.
Arteta is going to start him.
When's the final?
Given he's been out for so long now.
Three weeks, is it?
Yeah.
That's a good bit of time to get yourself right.
Like Arteta, does he turn into Batman with a bit of prep time? Can be anyone.
Yeah.
Or does he turn into Pep of the finals of all those years where he just does something weird?
Yeah, overthinks it a bit, yeah.
You wouldn't know. I don't know. As I say, like, I wouldn't be writing him off, of course not. I mean, it's 90 minutes of football plus whatever. Anything could happen, but I would just be surprised. I think PSG will have a bit too much for them. But
I'm looking forward to it, though.
I
think it'll be a good game.
I hope, like, there is, of all the eventualities, one of them is that PSG win 3-0. And I hope it doesn't just sort of get out of hand quickly. I know, obviously,
right,
your point notwithstanding, you'd be happy with that, would you?
If they're good goals, who cares?
Right. I'm a Premier man. You're a TNT man.
Yeah, I'm a TNT. If I could mute a certain commentator, I would. But
well,
Celtic coming on there.
Them, so.
I'm not talking about Ali McCoist. I love Ali McCoist as a commentator.
Isn't his? We had him on a few years ago, and there's like the love for somebody who definitely people of my era, I would go as far as say hated as a player because he was a true embodiment of that. Walter Smith's team.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
And the Walter Smith's background team as well.
Huh?
Walter Smith's background team as well.
Yeah. The arc, the journey, whatever we call it these days. That's incredible.
Yeah, like just testament to his punditry and the fun he brings to it. That a couple of years ago, I did an episode of The Overlap with Celtic versus Rangers fans. And Ali McCoist and Chris Sutton was part of the punditry team, and every Celtic fan asked Ali McCoist for a photo at the end of it. And like he was universally despised by Celtic fans for a long, long time, and you usually are if you're that involved in Rangers. and he's still pretty involved in Rangers as well, but he's just he.
What do you mean?
He's still part of, like, you know, he's still a Rangers fan.
Associated.
Yeah, he's still very much associated with the club. But yeah, he just brings the game to life in such a fun way that I think that's what I enjoy. I'm not so sure I enjoy the palliness that Darren Fletcher brings to it. It's sometimes ends up being a podcast as opposed to watching the football match and calling the football match. But yeah, I think Premier has its
I love it.
Now with
I
that
love it. I can see the commentary. Some of the comments coming in. It's not for everybody.
No, it's definitely not. You're talking about, like, the punditry outside the game.
I like all of it. I think Owen's an excellent presenter. Got a great dynamic going on. Kenny and Shay are the kind of staples, and then they rotate people out. Nicky Butt was the one last night. Damien Duff was in there the night before. That was a odd one. Totally thrown out. Damien Duff was there the evening before that. I just think there's a good dynamic. Gary Breen and Rob Daly have a thing going on commentary. I like it. Yeah.
Big fan of Rob Daly.
I really like Gary Breen and Rob Daly in comms.
Gary Breen's excellent.
Really
get
on board with that. Rob Daly's great as well. Yeah. I do think there's a shift. I don't know if it's an intentional shift that they've tried to do as far as analysis and that goes. And it's not to take away from what Shea Given and Kenny Cunningham and Damien Duff and all these guys know about the game, because they obviously do know quite a bit about the game considering the careers they've had. But there's definitely, I think, a bit more of an emphasis on the entertainment side of it.
And do you think on Premier? I would probably disagree with that. I think Kenny's a purist and would balk at the idea of...
So I don't think Kenny is going out there to be entertaining, per se. But I think there's an acknowledgement that he is entertaining.
He is entertaining.
And they play into that fact.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
That's not how a debate should go. You shouldn't agree at the end.
It's
wrong.
Is that right? Okay, we've loads to get to. We'll tell you what's happened across the back pages in a second, but a reminder: Off the Ball Breakfast with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. It contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. By the way, it is definitely something that motivates people and they have opinions on, so please do feel free to get your comments in about where it is you watch your football and what it is you like about it. We'll keep it that simple, and we do that over the course of the morning as well. It's 7 minutes to 8. Good morning to you if you just joined us. We had a few technical issues earlier on, but life is good now, Dara.
We're back up and running.
Start with the Irish Daily Mail. Budapest Bedlam, says the headline here. Furious Arsenal fans slam UEFA over final prices. The latest ticket price stuff. Isan Khan writing here. Arsenal fans have hit out at UEFA for allocating them fewer than 17,000 tickets to the Champions League final on the 30th of May in Budapest. While those who are going face eye-watering flight and hotel costs. This is just the price of watching sport these days, whether it's the World Cup or whatever else you're having yourself.
You could be clever about getting to Budapest too if you wanted to.
You could do overland and sea.
Or Prague, yeah.
These finals aren't built for fans at this point.
No.
They're corporate events.
Mm. Yeah, they are, yeah. Now, how many tickets are Arsenal getting, does it say?
Fewer than 17,000.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Like,
the two owns last night were talking about a price tag of €2.3 million on a ticket for the World Cup final. Infantino himself would deliver you a hot dog and a beer.
Hot dog, yeah.
It's scandalous, really. Like we have become so desanitized or sensitized even to this entire thing that we do laugh about it now. But that is bonkers.
That's an awful statement. Like,
yeah.
It's completely apathetic to the general fan.
But like, the thing about the 2.3 million, as I understood it, was that it was for sale on a third party website. So it wasn't even as if this money was going to FIFA.
Yeah.
And then your man is not saying, oh, this is scandalous. We need to get to the bottom of this because this money isn't going to fund, even if you're so lofty as to suggest that it's funding grassroots football.
So it's 2.3 million just for the ticket to watch the match.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. I presume they're a good ticket, but it's also 2.3 million.
Yeah, I don't know if it's some type of package or something, but either way, it's scandalous regardless of what it is.
Oh, it builds you a League of Ireland stadium, that type of...
It builds you a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
And for him to make a joke of it, it's obviously no one's going to... Well, you'd hope no one pays for that, but he should be shooting that down and being like, yeah, that shouldn't be happening, etc. The fact that he makes a joke of it and say he'll sort them out with a bit of grub on the day is...
He's the worst, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fool.
Dembele fires PSG into the Champions League final. A lot of the papers today going with that, shushing Dembele running away after scoring his goal. McIlroy, more driven after Masters double. He insists that he's more motivated than ever, writes Robert Gorman here in the back page, after his back-to-back wins at Augusta. Hasn't played since securing the second successful green jacket. Sure, why would you bother? Nearly a month ago at this stage, but he returns for the truest championship on the PGA Tour, one of the signature events this week.
He was on with the Kelseys yesterday.
All right, was he?
Mm-hmm. His birthday was yesterday, I think.
Right.
I haven't listened to the full thing, but by all accounts, they bring out his inner bro. So it should be an interesting. Brilliant.
And how does that manifest itself? That's not, that, you know.
A fear of
it. I think deep down,
that
Rory's,
fill me with delight.
I think deep down, Rory's a bit of a bro.
Yeah,
he, I saw one of the Kelseys was at
the Met Gala.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we not even distinguish one from the other?
Which
now?
One? That I don't James know. I just don't know what their names are. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think Jason is the man.
Travis,
and then, sure.
Was it Travis? Because like, he's engaged to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, which one is
Travis?
Travis. So he's the one. That makes sense. The other guy's just hanging on to his coattails, basically.
Ooh.
Talk about that.
Also a very good.
Jason's
also
he's like a Hall of Fame player,
ring
yeah.
holder, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing well in his own right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's his podcast, right? He started.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's his.
Not to dwell on or anything, but the gear he'd on him was crazy.
I didn't.
Mad see, yeah. gear on him, yeah. At the Met Gala.
Oh, really?
Have a look.
Yeah.
Have a look.
Yeah.
There was a bit of chat outside about Vincent Kompany's style.
I like it.
I'm for it, yeah.
I like it.
I'm for it.
Thought he looked sharp. Thought he looked well.
I wasn't mad in the trousers. I thought the jacket was okay.
I think they look sharp.
I think he pulled
it
off.
They were really well cut. I thought they were. They looked like they were just ironed. Just before, really. Like the last thing he did before he went out on the side of the pitch was to iron his pants.
People love all that stuff, don't they?
It struck me.
Pep's always getting it as well. With his jumpers and
I didn't
all
get
sort.
These. I didn't get managed to formulate the. I had the thought in my head while watching the Arsenal game the other day that Mikel Arteta needs to buy a pair of pants that are a size up.
Company's gone too far the other way.
Well, I'm reading a headline here by Travis Kelce. Sam Smith's Met Gala outfit sparked a bizarre Travis Kelce mix-up. So was Travis Kelce not at it? People just thought it was
somebody thought it was Jason.
Oh, it was Sam Smith. Smith, was it?
Sam
it
wasn't Smith was
him.
There.
Very funny.
You don't even look alike.
That's very funny. Wow, it was obviously advertised as him. That's the, or like someone had put a. Someone had put a.
Oh, that is not Travis Kelce.
Ah, someone put a thing out anyway. Sorry.
The Mer Hungary Eyes Gunner Stars ready to rule Europe and make history in Budapest. Ambitious United go for Prem big guns. I'll give you more information on that here in a second. The Sun, Harry's dreams belly up. Harry Kane struck again, but PSG denied him a Champions League final against Old Foes Arsenal. That's a good one. All hands on deck. Rice wants to see 200,000 Arsenal fans in Budapest. Does he? Does he though?
Yeah, sure he does.
Does he really?
200,000.
67,000 capacity Puskás Arena.
How would that work?
The most expensive ticket costing 950, which compared to 2.3 million feels like a
seems
steal.
Right, yeah. Bit of a steal, yeah.
The Irish Times, we have to carry on Philly Ryan's legacy, says Tipperary's O'Connor. This is an article by Gordon Manning here. Former county manager died at just 56 years of age last October. The Tipperary footballers. Another piece here from Gordon Manning on Comer's return, boosting Galway's impressive attack. And then Kieran Murphy, nothing will top Morris Fitz, but McCarron came close, giving words to the conversations that we've been having. Which one was better?
Yeah, is it top 10 scorers of all time? Like, I'm not going to get you to rank them, like, but is it in that realm? Probably. Pure skill and margin of error.
Whoa, Jesus. Is it top 10 of all time? My initial instinct is no, but
it's making the it's making the compilation for the last 20 years.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's top 10 of all time.
I mean, because of all time is
you would
like are you mixing it up with moments, like, because it's obviously not a huge moment in the grand scheme of things.
No.
It's an Ulster semi final.
You're talking about technical.
I'm talking about the skill of it and like the difficulty.
Muggsy, Morris.
Like if Jack McCarron tries to do that 100 more times, how many times does he kick it?
Well, by all accounts, of the people who know him
heard,
say that he might kick it
8 out of 10
a lot
times.
More, yeah.
8 out of no. Well, that's just not true.
He might do.
It's the anti Monaghan brigade over here in the corner.
I'm literally calling it one of the top 10 scorers of all time. Anti Monaghan.
Red Alert says the back page of the Irish Daily Star: United prime to stock up at Premier Store again. Manchester United, writes Strome Marshall here, set to put their Premier League rivals on notice this summer that they're coming for their stars in the transfer window. The stars being Carlos Baleba from Brighton, Adam Wharton from Palace, Mateus Fernandez from West Ham, Alex Scott from Bournemouth, and João Gomes from Wolves. And there are more as well, I think, further down. Anyway, that's a pretty long shopping list, of which...
The best midfielders in the Premier League.
Will they end up with what combination of those? Probably none, but I'm sure that'll excite United fans.
Probably they'll have to sign one, will they?
They seem to be in the market for two midfielders this summer.
Elliot Anderson, from Nottingham Forest.
The most recent news is that they're looking towards Premier League proven rather than someone like Sesko again, who's going to take 6-7 months to develop. So
it worked out pretty well with Cunha and Mbeumo so far. So.
Makes sense. Yeah. What Man United used to do, which everyone else's best player.
Elsewhere, Rovers were John's focus. Paul O'Hare, this is covered in a lot of the papers today. John Martin broken his silence on the Michael Noonan contract saga. We'll give you some clip on that in just a few moments' time. PSG gunning for final. The other one, obviously, that's covered across a lot of the papers today is John Fogarty in The Examiner, who's been leading the way on this story, and Ken O'Connor here in the Irish Daily Star. Kerry and Donegal likely to be on GAA Plus. The John Fogarty piece says, Kerry, Donegal and Cork Meath Group 1 games later this month will be screened on GAA+. Both matches have been chosen by the association's streaming arm and are to be shown on Saturday. So I suppose the angles to this are that RTE had requested from the GAA, as per the terms of their previous agreement, or now previous agreement, both of those games, the Cork Meath one and the Kerry Donegal one, and they were refused on both of them for both to be screened on GAA+. The previous agreement is null and void, and RTE are only entitled now to the third pick, it turns out. And there's going to be a lot of people pretty pissed off, I think, about this entire thing, that it's obviously behind a paywall. They're the two most high-profile games, and when you move into the following rounds, it's the same scenario again, with GAA Plus having the first picks of them. How do people feel about all this? Donegal, the Donegal representative in the corner?
Yeah, I mean, it's... What can RTE do here? You know, the GAA have created this broadcast ecosystem of their own, and if you're competing with the people who own the rights, you're probably going to end up getting the worst picks out of this. I thought it was pretty interesting that not only for the first round are the GAA taking their picks, they're also taking their picks of the 2A and 2B games as well.
Yeah.
And then RTE will only have one of the four games in the round two or AB. So it's like you can't compete with somebody who owns the rights. I do think it'll be interesting to see how this develops over the next 5-6 years, in that will the GAA probably go down the NFL route, in that the way the NFL broadcast works is they own the rights, and they lease them out to the companies rather than RTE buying the rights. So that's why you'll see Fox will promote the NFL coverage that's happening on another broadcast.
Okay.
So you would see, it would be the equivalent of RTE promoting a game that might be on TG Cahir the next day.
Okay.
Which you wouldn't normally
that
see
never happens,
on...
Why did they do that?
So the NFL own the rights, and they lease them out, as opposed to RTE buying the rights for a certain amount of games.
So like on a game by game basis, you are to an exclusive basis.
Exactly. Yeah. So RTE would buy the rights for these games from the GAA. So they own the rights, and it's RTE's rights to those games. Whereas in the NFL still maintain the ownership of the broadcast and the ownership of the game. So maybe the GAA are going down that route. I think for GAA fans, it's not going to be a good thing. I think particularly my mind goes to
the older
GAA fans who don't know how to use this system. I know that my girlfriend's grandfather, for the last couple of years, he's a avid hurling fan, and sure, he didn't know how to get the hurling games at all when they were on GAA Plus. So that's sort of where my mind goes to this. It's not great in that aspect. And if the GAA are looking to grow the game, putting everything behind a paywall is not going to do that.
Yeah, I think the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, and it's the same with the NBA, a lot of that is down to because they have regional broadcasters, and because people in that area want to see those games specifically, and people maybe outside, so they lease them out to those broadcasters operating in that part of the country. And then it's also to do, I think, with like certain parts of the season, like Sky Sports will want games towards the end of the season when it starts to kick off and playoffs start and stuff like that. So don't think that's overly suitable to the GAA. Mm. Just not broadcasters for each county. Mm. Or TV broadcasters at least.
Yeah. It's I think everybody, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of RT you can do in this situation, to be fair to them. I think for me the idea of GAA Plus, and it's obviously I not the idea of it, but what I would like it to be is, or the equivalent of whatever they might, it might be, is in GAA Go in the past, was to be able to give people the opportunity to watch games that they wouldn't be able to see otherwise. And I think maybe it's caught people off guard as well that now we're actually going to be the games that everyone wants to watch, are the biggest games, are the ones that are kind of being taken away from the, let me stick the telly on here and throw this on. Mm. I think that's where the angst comes towards it. But Arthur was saying last night on, I don't know, it was on the news round or whatever part of the show they were talking about last night, about the fact that the GAA Plus have clearly made a play like this year, and as far as we're going to make this a proper thing. Like, I mean, they're hosting the draws, yeah, they have their preview, they have their review and all that, and all
their
that
podcast,
yeah, all that stuff too. Like, so this is not going anywhere.
No.
And it would just be as you say, over the next little while it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But personally for me, I know Tommy, I think I was reading some of Tommy's stuff as well, was saying that there's actually only going to be two games, I think, that yeah, aren't going to be able to be watched at all.
I thought there was, I thought reading his stuff last night,
could be wrong now,
that all games were going to be shown, because I did see that somewhere, that there was two games that weren't going to be shown. But then the one positive side of all of this, I think there was, is there 27 games or something like that, and that all 27 are going to be shown.
More to the point then, even if every game is going to be shown, that's a good thing compared to last year where there was still a lot of games.
It is
that
a good thing, but on your
cracks,
point, I think that's the bit where it starts to jar a bit. Like, that was basically the go-to sort of reasoning or excuse up to now, that, you know, these games weren't going to be shown, so isn't this a brilliant thing? But now suddenly it's, well, we're going to take the shiniest things and we're going to put them on over here.
Yeah, that's it. That's the problem that people have. That is the issue.
And also their relationship with RTE, obviously, up to this point,
was
they were co-investors or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now suddenly that's gone, and RTE have absolutely been shouldered off the ball on this one.
So GAA Plus is the GAA's thing. It's funded and ran and everything by the GAA. Okay, that's interesting.
It's like their headquarters is in Croke Park.
Yeah.
That's where the studio is.
Okay.
Yeah. No, very firmly their thing. But yeah, so they say like that the change of format had meant that the previous agreement with RTE was now null and void. Mm-hmm. And so that gives them the ability and the right to take those bigger games.
You do wonder, is RTE going to catch up with this for next season? Is it just a matter of that the format changed, that meant the agreement changed for this season, and then RTE are working in the background?
Well, I'm sure as well RTE will have hurling that weekend to some degree.
There is some of them, again partly some of the rationale, but not entirely.
Okay,
there are some weekends where that's not the reason that RTE don't have the biggest games.
I get that.
I mean, there is an argument to be made that in previous years, it is just a format thing, that the reason that we're getting these games in the first place, the fact that Donegal are playing Kerry, is because of the format change, and that previously in the old format, you wouldn't have had these major clashes in the first round of the championship, and RTE probably would have put the hurling on anyway, because you're in the more into the more business end of the hurling season at that point. So we are at the point now where maybe the format change has been good for the Gaelic football season and the broadcast just hasn't caught up with us.
Well, I think it's interesting in that RTE obviously felt they might have had some ability to get, let's call them, the two biggest games, right? So they put the request into the GAA to say, we'd like these games. Mm. So that was interesting, because the GAA then went, well, no, you can't have them. Like, that's a serious... You can only imagine behind the scenes in terms of the relationship there. That is a really interesting
thing. Put a strain on it, for sure.
I think for sure. And like, you know, even when the next rights come up at the end of the 2027 championship, as to where all that goes. The only like logical conclusion to the conversation that we're having, in the sense that like the GAA are obviously taking the rights for themselves, putting them on their own channels, would be some sort of a government step in to say, actually, these games, to relook at the games of national importance. You could certainly make a case for that stage of the tournament. And I'm not just going for those two big games. Obviously, with our maroon and white hats on here, we'll go a different route on that. But I think at that stage of the tournament, I think you can make a case that they are games of national importance.
Yeah.
So the only... Yeah. I think that's the only route, if people have some sort of a dream that these games largely end up back on free-to-air TV. I think that is realistically at this stage, given what's happened over the last 24 hours.
At what point did GA Plus not have any more games? Is it the quarterfinals?
Quarterfinals is then they split between the two, it says.
Okay. They have games. They broadcast the final, don't they? They go all the way, right, except for it's on a non-exclusive basis, is my understanding.
It's free-to-air.
Like, again, that was on the pre... That was up to...
Yeah.
You know, earlier.
Okay, so it says in the quarterfinals they'll have the two Saturday games will be on GA Plus, and two Sunday games will be on.
And that's because of the hurling, isn't it? That's one of the hurling things.
Yeah. So it's such a bizarre situation that we've ended up here, because usually when this happens, it's two rival public companies going tit for tat on who gets what broadcasting rights, and almost like a New Kids on the Block. We've got better pundits. We're going to bring you better coverage. We've this new shiny toy that we're going to bring to our analysis, whereas it's actually the organization that's fighting against the broadcaster, which is
unique.
It's a bizarre situation. Yeah.
A couple of things to go to on slightly different angles. One of them being the upstairs downstairs shop in Monaghan that had put up a video clip on one of their socials somewhere, and Anya Kerr on X Twitter had grabbed it. Was a billboard, I think we have it somewhere, do we?
I don't know if we have it, but we can throw it up at some point,
Of Rory Began.
It's something else.
And it's him. We don't have it. We'll come back to it later on. I don't want to be explaining that one. We'll come back to it. The other one is we're going to continue our Westmeath team. Do we have team? Do we have Robbie Henshaw?
We do.
Right. Robbie Henshaw talking to Dara.
Westmeath, do you follow them at all? Football-wise?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Decent time for you.
It's brilliant, I was chatting to one of my mates who's playing with them, Ray Cannellan, and he was just chatting him before the game on Sunday and just telling him, you know, go and attack them and wishing him all the best, but it's great to see them come true.
So you're to thank for that catch towards the end, are you?
I don't know, I was just, he was checking in on me, just seeing how I was and stuff, and I was making sure he was good to go. But yeah, it was good.
What could have been for Westmeath football?
Lord,
probably they don't need him. Look how well they're doing anyway.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, he played minor level for Westmeath, I believe, alongside Ray Cannellan. I think that's how he knows
from
him.
From the same area.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they played football all the way through and then played minor together.
They'd be a good old catapult would get from one house to another.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
They're similar age. I think it's a couple of months between them.
Where would you put Robbie Henshaw on the football field? If you had him just now, like he just
this version of
transfers
Robbie Henshaw
to Westmead, rips up the Leinster contract.
I'm like, my mind straight away goes to kind of a half-back position, but that's probably unfair on him.
I think you're sticking him in midfield. He's a big guy. Like,
how tall is he?
Oh, he'd be 6'2", 6'3", okay. I want to say.
Probably you'd probably stick him under a kick-out, would you?
Yeah, I think so.
Get a few lads in around a breaking ball.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear you say that he was that tall, just on a rugby field. 6'2" doesn't look that big.
No, it doesn't. It's just when I was talking to him yesterday after the interview and he stood up and I was like, oh, you're quite tall.
That's what we're dealing with.
We'll have more of that coming later on the show.
6'3".
I'd have to stick him under a kick-out.
Big guy.
Yeah.
The other thing that we want to mention before we get into Graham Hunter and all the reaction to last night, Ben Symonds was out yesterday chatting to John Martin, obviously former CEO of Shamrock Rovers, FAI's director of football, and there'd been several months ago, obviously, the controversy around the potential transfer of Rovers forward Michael Noonan. Ben got John Martin's thoughts on that when they chatted.
This is the first time we've spoken to you since the news broke out in the last couple of months regarding a Michael Noonan potential transfer in the future and your name being involved. Are you in a position to clarify for us maybe what happened there and what this looks like now going forward?
Well, I suppose not in terms of what happened. I suppose, look, as CEO of Shamrock Rovers, probably every decision I made in Shamrock Rovers was in the best interest of the football club, as I would have seen it. So I gave my life to the job. There was. I gave every minute of my life to the job. I loved the job. Everything I did was in the best interest of the club. So I couldn't speak about specific contracts of players at the club. Like in general, I wouldn't do it. But look, as I understand the situation, Rovers have sought some clarity from FIFA, and for now that's with them. Like, so I suppose I can't speak to the outcome of what that might look like. But from my perspective, said every decision I made there was what I felt was in the best interest of the club, and you know, it's a great club, lots of great people there, and look, you wish them continued success.
Are you saying this situation has maybe moved on from the FAI and yourself, and it's just between Rovers internally?
Well, it hasn't come directly to the FAI as I understood the situation. I think Rovers obviously have saw clarity, so this is probably a better question for Rovers to answer, but I know Rovers have saw clarity on the agreement, and as I understand, there's no clarity has come back from FIFA on that. If something comes back, then perhaps we can look at it then, but for now, that's, I think, the position.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability, following pharmacist consultation.